This assembly meeting is called to order. I'd like to acknowledge that we are conducting this meeting on the traditional land of the Chilkat people. Please join me in saluting the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That was impressive. Roll call.
Mayor Cremata.
Here.
Bass. Here. Burnham.
Here.
Hansen.
Here.
Hilton.
Here.
Potter.
Here.
Stone.
Present via phone.
All members present, quorum is established.
Approval of agenda. Oh, sorry, approval of minutes.
Move we approve the minutes.
Second.
Motion by Bass, second by Hilton to approve the September 1st minutes. Discussion? Roll call.
Burnham.
Yes.
Hansen.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Stone.
Yes.
Hilton.
Yes.
Bass.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
Approval of agenda.
I move for the approval of the agenda.
Second.
Motion by Potter, second by Bass to approve the agenda. Discussion? Roll call.
Hansen.
Yes.
Bass.
Yes.
Stone.
Yes.
Hilton.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
Reports of officials and committees, item A, mayor's report. It's in the packet. Assembly committee reports, finance.
Thank you, Your Honor. There's a check run dated October 5th, 2022 in the amount of $5,439,039.33. I move we approve the check run.
Second.
Motion by Burnham, second by Potter to approve the check run. Discussion. Jay?
I'll just throw out there that it's a little bigger than normal. There's $3,400,000 for the Skagway Cruise Terminal, $350,000 for the school, $236,000 for the school kitchen, over $230,000 for Cox Environmental. It's just seems a little bigger than normal, but we're paying bills.
Kids got to eat, right? Roll call.
Hilton.
Yes.
Stone.
Yes.
Bass.
Yes.
Burnham?
Yes.
Potter?
Yes.
Hansen?
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
Finance last met yesterday, October 5th at 7 p.m. under unfinished business was review of resolution 22-28R, ambulance fees and definitions, repealing resolution 2000-06R. Finance proposed an amendment and recommends assembly approval as amended. Finance reviewed and tweaked resolution 22-31R, providing a policy for community grant funding, and that should be on the next assembly agenda. Finance discussed implementation of resolution 22-22R, which would compensate members of boards, commissions, and committees. After being educated by staff and the treasurer, I was informed of the paperwork needed to be supplied by the individuals choosing to be compensated and allow time for compiling and submitting the paperwork, which will include a W-4, an I-9 with appropriate identification and direct deposit information, then getting that to staff to process. And it was determined it would probably be best implemented at the beginning of the new budget cycle in January. Under new business, Finance reviewed three KPFF proposals, the 2023 ORDOC Emergency Project Design and Construction Support, Phase 3 of ORDOC Redevelopment Project, and Marine Service Platform 60% design scope and fee. After discussion, Finance recommends Assembly approval of all three proposals. Finance reviewed the pre-procurement proposal for the 2023 ORDOC Alternative Mooring Plan. After discussion, Finance recommends Assembly approval. Finance reviewed Shannon Wilson's proposal for short-term life, health, and safety rockfall mediation and recommends Assembly approval. Finance reviewed the proposal for wastewater treatment facility improvements and engineering and funding assistance and recommends Assembly approval. Finance reviewed preliminary engineering agreement with DOT regarding the ferry terminal and recommends Assembly approval. Under discussion items was spending limits, and more information will be brought to the next Finance meeting regarding the spending limits. And that is all.
Thank you, Jay. Parks and Recreation.
Nothing at this time, Your Honor.
Public Works.
Thank you, Your Honor. Public Works currently has three different sizes of bare, I won't call them bare proof, but bare resistant trash cans available for sale. There will also be coming up in the budget cycle a proposal of buying all trash service bare proof trash cans, and that will be part of the budget discussion. The trash baler is due to arrive mid to late October. That will be in the composter facility. And to make room for that, a Connex that is properly ventilated will also be coming to move the kit cabin out of the composter building. And I will address 9H about the wastewater treatment proposal when that comes up in the agenda. Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. Public Safety.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Public Safety anticipates a public safety meeting later this month. Just for a quick update, firefighter Rupert is halfway through his training in Illinois. We wish him the best of luck, as that's a very hard academy that he's attending. And additionally, we've begun our police department audit, and we should have the results of that in the near future. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam. Health, Education, Welfare.
Thank you, Your Honor. We have a meeting scheduled for this coming Tuesday at 4 p.m. The agenda will be out shortly, and Manager Ryan will speak to it, and it's in his manager's notes tonight.
Thank you, Reba. Civic Affairs.
Nothing to report. Thank you.
Thank you, Dustin. Reports from boards, commissions, and Solid Waste Advisory Committee. We have a report from the Historic District Commission in the packet. Is anybody else here representing any of those groups and would like to speak? Manager's report.
Thank you. So we got obviously a lot going on with the port. Things are moving quickly. And since yesterday and today, we have a different cost estimate on materials that need to be pre-purchased for the alternative mooring update. So you'll see a difference in that finance committee from the 2.8 to just over $4 million. That's all for materials. And we can talk about that later, but for materials to bring in ships and alternative mooring, but it's also for the future project as well. We have Little Dippers and Big Dippers. You'll see in my manager's update, we got Little Dippers okay to use the current facility throughout the winter if they can staff up for that. We also have a proposal to use a building locally for the seniors that Reva's going to put on HEW, I believe. So we'll have a discussion there about that as well. We did get back from search, and hopefully we can put that on your agenda as well, a back and forth on a lease agreement and a purchase agreement. So hopefully we can have that for you. And maybe with that, we got a long agenda, so I'll just let this move along. Thank you.
Thank you, Manager Ryan. Communications to the Assembly, item A, correspondence.
All the correspondence has been added to your packet.
Thank you, Steve. Here, citizens present, remember when you speak this evening, please state your name clearly for the record. If you're representing a group or organization, state the name of the group or organization and how you came to reach the opinions being presented this evening. We're going to start tonight with our fourth and fifth graders, who had a nice letter in the packet here. Whoever's taking the lead, go for it.
One second, please.
You take your time. It's always good to take a deep breath before speaking.
Are their mics, their microphone on, Andrew?
The fourth and fifth grade classes from Skagway School want to make a difference in Skagway. Can you help us save Skagway salmon?
The coho salmon population has been decreasing the past decade in the Pacific North and Northwest, and we think it's time to take action and save the remaining salmon.
According to the San Francisco Estuary Institute, a recent study found a highly toxic chemical, 6-PPD quinone, derived from vehicle tires in the Bay Area stormwater at levels lethal to coho salmon. This toxic chemical is killing salmon in Skagway streams, too.
Tires aren't the only problem, though heavy metals from brakes, oils, and gasoline are also bad for the salmon habitats.
Did you know that when rainwater lands on impervious places such as roofs, roads, alleys, parking lots, and sidewalks, it carries these contaminated particles into our storm drains? These chemicals are deadly to salmon, so we must improve our existing rain gardens and make more rain gardens in Skagway, which help filter contaminated water.
The fourth and fifth grade classes went on a class trip with Ruben Cash to 11th and Broadway to see one of Skagway's first rain gardens and learn how it works. Are you wondering how a rain garden works?
Rain gardens are described as depressions, usually between a gutter and a sidewalk, that are dug out and then filled up with big rocks all the way to small rocks. After putting the rocks into depression, you put fabric on top of the rocks, then fill it up with soil. You can make it pretty by planting a garden, but you can also simply plant grass.
As a result, when contaminated water rushes by, some of it will go into the rain gardens to be filtered by infiltrating and percolating through the rocks.
One fifth grader says, we need rain gardens immediately. Without them, the salmon from the Pacific Ocean will be rarer than they used to be. Not to mention, they are really delicious.
Salmon are an important vital part of Alaskan history and culture because it is a major food source for all Alaskan natives.
In addition, salmon fishing is a major contributor to our economy. More than 31,000 fishermen live in Alaska and fish as their job.
It is obvious that one answer to preventing contaminated stormwater from getting into salmon habitats is to improve or build rain gardens.
Think about all the substances that collect on the streets that could potentially kill this precious resource.
We are here to ask and urge you to support putting in more rain gardens in Skagway.
Fourth and fifth grade students are eager and willing to help improve our current rain gardens on 11th and help build new ones.
Don't you think we need more rain gardens? Let's act fast, assembly members, and
save our salmon!
Thank you!
Thanks to all of you. That was very well done. I imagine somebody at the table might be bringing forth some kind of rain garden initiative resolution in the near future, but we might need some help with it if that's okay with you guys.
We got lots of hands.
Okay, good. Thank you. Our next group that's gonna come up, middle school robotics, also has something to present. This was good, though. It was good. Please do.
Greetings, Skagway Assembly members and Manager Ryan.
We are the Skagway School Middle School Robotics Team, the Spark Sharks, Team 46069.
The theme of our first Lego League season this year is to identify a way to improve our local energy from power generation, transfer, or usage.
After meeting with several energy experts in our community, Manager Ryan and Municipal Lobbyist John Walsh, we identified the need for providing electric charging stations for cruise ships and also to shift the municipal buses to electric engines.
We decided to focus our local research project on the conversion of the municipal smart buses to clean renewable energy provided by Skagway's hydropower.
Our suggestions for funding an electric bus initiative is to charge one additional dollar per person per ride next summer on the smart buses, to apply for green energy grants, and to ask for donations from the cruise lines for startup infrastructure.
Our next steps in our bus electrification project are
research green energy grants,
research the price of converting buses to electric compared to buying new electric buses,
researching how much excess power AP&T produces daily in the summer,
meet with the technicians of Burrow Creek's hydroelectric plant,
survey AP&T's local management for their ideas and to build a partnership,
survey the current smart bus contract holder for their ideas,
contact HAP, Princess, and Holland America to learn what their upcoming plans are for reducing their carbon footprint,
contact the Juneau Borough and AELNP to see how they acquired their electric municipal bus.
Today, we are asking you to join us on our green initiative and to add into your upcoming budget a feasibility study for shifting the smart buses to an electric bus fleet.
We hope you will partner with us on this bus electrification project to improve Skagway's future and the future of our children.
Thank you.
Thanks, you guys. Well done. So it's a little complicated with public comment here this evening. There's people scattered all about. So I'm just going to go by row. We do have our 3-minute time limit, so please adhere to that so that we can get done maybe by one or two this morning. We'll start with the first row right over here. You guys, first row, anybody? Fable?
Dear assembly members, we should get a pool because I have been to small towns like ours and they have pools. If we got a pool, then we wouldn't have to go to Haines, even though it's fun. And we could go to the pool anytime we want. It would be good to teach our community to be strong swimmers. Plus, it would be a tourist attraction and we could get more money. And we could get a swimming team and have other swim teams practice and teach kids how to swim better and race other teams. And swimming is fun and keeps people healthy and happy.
Thank you, Fable.
Your Honor, could I pass?
Oh, yeah, Assemblyman. Hey, Fable, Assemblyman Burnham has something that probably occupy the rest of your evening here. Thank you. Second row, which is Rocky, Lillian, you guys good? Ms. Fun?
Ms. Fun, just kidding. Courtney Ellingson, first of all, I just want to thank all of you for your service. I know there's a lot going on, so thank you, because I know it's a lot of work and a lot of hours and a lot of mental power, and so thank you. I'm coming tonight not to speak to anything. It's not on the agenda, but I just wanted to, as a DAE resident, strongly urge you to consider discussion of public safety in that valley. We've had a lot of weird weather situations in the last few years, last weekend and the weekend before, flooding. It ran across the road by McDermott's and it took out a big chunk of the road. And it just, as a resident out there and as a DAE advisory board member, I just have a growing concern about a lack of mitigation plan for fire, and then also just for weather and communications. So I just wanted to ask that be a part of a discussion or a consideration to just get a little more into working towards some solutions there and just working as a team. I mean, we've met, the DAE advisory board has met with the National Park Service and had some great discussion. We met with Chief Rauscher, we've met with STC, and we've had some really great conversations, but I would like to just, as a resident and as a board member, ask that you consider having some dialogue about that. Thank you.
Thank you, Courtney. Rosemary? Lisa? Next row? I'm just going to go Rose. I can't see that far back. Reba? I can see Reba. Back row? Let's see. Third row. Dan? Way in the back? Mark? Tyler? Okay. Well, that was actually pretty quick. News media? Chief? Very well, thanks, everybody. Oh, Sarah, go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor. Sarah Kinjo-Hisher, representing Skagway Traditional Council. Let me start off with a gratitude and thank each one of you for all the time and hours, hard work put into bettering this community. I'm writing to you in hopes to clear up some confusions that seems to be making its way through public channels regarding multiple inaccurate comments made by Assemblyman Hansen, most recently heard at the Candidates Forum. Comments suggested that the municipality had requested the tribal government a plan of what SDC would do with the property of the former Pius residence school if it were gifted, and that SDC had not responded to that request. I want to make clear a few points to the assembly and those who are listening. First, the tribal government has never received any official request for a plan for the Garden City RV Park property. Saying that there were multiple attempts of requests for a plan is inaccurate and confusing to the public. However, there were one comment made during one of the assembly meetings some time ago that we happened to catch, and we did respond to that the best we could. Our response stands the same. We firmly believe that any project not supported by the community would not be successful. We would first gain public input from the community. Additionally, we would take in consideration anyone who had attended the school and their descendants, because we believe it would help heal and find closure for them. Secondly, gifting the entirety of the Pius X Mission property to SDC and recognizing the profound impact the institutions had and still have on Native Alaskans would be admirable and precedent setting in a time when the whole nation is grappling with the mistreatment, neglect, and abuse that occurred at Native boarding schools, including Pius X Mission. However, SDC has never requested the whole property. We recommended that the section of the property be gifted to SDC for the purpose of acknowledgement of the school's existence and its impact on the lives of Indigenous people of Southeast Alaska. Finally, if the municipality were to gift us land at the former Pius X Mission Catholic Residence School for Native Children, we would need the following information. One, how much land should we plan on receiving? When would we receive this land? Will there be restrictions? And if there were improvements, mitigations that must happen first? If so, what are the projected costs? It would not be reasonable for us to spend staff time, residence time, and or resources to plan, to make a plan without having any agreement that outlines the 4 points above. I'm sure you understand that the above is a must for any land development plan when working with another government. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Did I miss anybody else on that row, Frank? Anybody? Okay. Thanks, everyone. Ordinances, resolutions, and proclamations. Item A, public hearing, second reading, and adoption of ordinance number 22-08, authorizing the municipality of Skagway to lease waterfront property to Ocean Raft Alaska, LLC. Deb?
Due to my wife having a direct financial interest in Ocean Raft, I would like to recuse myself from this.
Any objection from the table? No objection. Orion?
Move for public hearing, second reading, and adoption of ordinance 22-08.
Second.
Motion by Hansen, second by Hilton, to adopt ordinance number 22-08. Would anyone from the public like to speak to this issue? Discussion? Roll call.
Bass.
Yes.
Stone?
Yes.
Hansen?
Yes.
Burnham?
Yes.
Hilton?
Yes.
Hansen?
Yes.
Five yeses, motion passes.
Item B, public hearing and adoption of resolution number 22-28R, ambulance fees and definitions, repealing OOT 06R.
I move for public hearing and adoption of resolution number 22-28R.
Second.
Motion by Bass, second by Burnham, to adopt resolution number 22-28R. Would anyone from the public like to speak to the topic of ambulance fees and definitions? Discussion. Deb?
Thank you, Your Honor. I attended last night's finance meeting. And I spoke to, though I am fully in support of raising the base fee rate. So I think that term was amended. I was not in favor. I requested that the ambulance subscription fees stay as they are. Currently $10 for an individual, $25 for a family, bumping that up to $50 per person and $125 per family. In light of everything that we're spending, including about $1,400 a day for an interim executive director for our clinic, I don't feel like we need to be trying to make revenue for the municipality off of ambulance subscriptions. At a previous finance meeting, when this was talked about, Chief Rauscher wasn't able to answer exactly how many current subscription members there are, but it was, she approximated between 30 and 40. So let's say there's 40 and all 40 of them would bump up to a family rate. We're talking about a maximum of $4,000 extra dollars for the municipality. And I think it's more important that we keep these ambulance subscription rates low to encourage people to get an ambulance subscription, which everybody should, please.
Reba?
I move to amend resolution number 22-28R with a proposed amendment by the Finance Committee dated October 5th, 2022, which is included in the packet as item 7B1. Which addresses your concerns, Assemblymember Potter.
Second.
Motion by Hilton, second by Burnham, to amend resolution number 22-28R to with the proposed amendment by Finance Committee. Discussion on the amendment. Sam?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Is the current rate $10 and $25? Is that what it is now? Does that would exist? Our other rates haven't changed for 20 years. And I understand that the bump up would be a financial burden to some folks, but I don't think that it's such a burden that we can go back to 20 years ago rate. So I would prefer we keep it at the 50 and 125. So I'll vote no on the amendment. Thank you.
Orion?
For clarity, there are other changes in the amendment. Some of it grammatical, as suggested from the treasurer, going from striking flat to base rate is one thing, and also from our attorney striking ambulance EMS fees number 4, that non-residents get a $200 additional fee. Our attorney seemed to think that could be challenged or have some sort of inappropriate legality. So that's not the only thing of 7B1.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Sam?
And I agree with the with removing number 4 and the language changes. It's just that one portion of the amendment. So thank you.
Roll call on the amendment.
Hanson.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Bass.
No.
Stone.
Yes.
Hilton.
Yes.
5 yeses. Motion passes.
Back to the main motion to adopt resolution number 22-28R, now amended. Any further discussion? Roll call.
Burnham.
Yes.
Bass.
Yes.
Hanson.
Yes.
Stone.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Hilton.
Yes.
6 yeses. Motion passes.
New business, item A, certification of October 4th, 2022 municipal election results.
Move we certify the October 6, 2022 municipal election results.
You mean October 4th?
I've got to wear my glasses more than I used to. October 4th.
Second.
Motion by Bass, second by Hanson to certify the October 4th election results. Discussion? Orion.
498 cast ballots. That is a pretty good turnout. Well done, everybody. That's good participation.
Any further discussion? Orion, or sorry, Steve.
Thanks, Your Honor. The election board did an excellent job seeing through this local election, which is the first election that I've had to sort of orchestrate for the municipality as clerk, and it's eye-opening experience. I think they did a great job. They met again today per code to finalize and make sure that the document you have is accurate, and they are I think happy with the result. So
thank you, Steve. Roll call.
Stone.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Bass.
Yes.
Hanson.
Yes.
Hilton.
Yes.
6 yeses, motion passes.
Item B, approval of KPFF proposal regarding 2023 ORDOC emergency project design and construction support.
I move to approve the KPFF proposal for the 2023 ORDOC emergency project in the amount not to exceed $668,300.
Second.
Motion by Hilton, second by Hanson to approve the KPFF proposal for the emergency project design and construction support. Discussion. Orion.
So we've had quite a bit of work discussion about how to get ships in for 2023. That's effectively what this proposal is for. It is on a very tight and fast timeline to get the temporary barge in, to get the permitting, to get the piers, to get the materials ordered. So the following items are going to move very quickly. I do think it's important that we have a presentation, whether it's in ports and harbors, planning and zoning, special meeting, to kind of plot that out. Manager Ryan, the mayor, are aware that I've advocated for that. It is changing as well because of the criteria coming out of the simulator. And I would expect that we're going to have to make some other changes to the scope and the plan and the materials that are ordered because of what the pilots are requesting. And we will accommodate that because it's imperative for our season next year to get the larger class cruise ship into the ore dock.
Any further discussion? Sam?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I, you know, getting a final bid put forward to the assembly for approval by November 17th, it is a very tight timeline. We need to get things moving. Maybe the manager can just clarify to me. So the $668,000 that we're going to approve is an amendment and we're going to be added on to the $4.7 million that we've already spent, or that's just projected for this portion of the project?
We're adding on to what's projected for all of the project, including the float that would float in 23-24 wintertime. So it's the total contract with the 668 will be $5.4 million. So this is an addition because of all this emergency or alternative planning that we're doing to get the dock ready for 2023 alternative mooring plan. It's not so, what's meant.
So the 5.5 million roughly is our contingency plan for 2023. However, some of that applies to the long-term plan.
Yeah, most of it applies to the long-term plan. You know, there's $1 million in there for sediment sampling. So yeah, there's a lot in there that's really for the long-term plan.
Thank you.
Orion?
The portion that is most definitely not a part is leasing a temporary barge. So I think in one of our next items here, you'll see several different proposals for different barges that it's already been solicited by our port manager and KPFF. And that's something that's clearly just for 2023. So that's not part of the long-term permanent part of the ore dock redevelopment, but it's to get a bliss-sized ship in for 2023, which it's moving quickly and imperative that it happens.
Any further discussion? Sam?
Manager Ryan, just where in the funds for the additional funds, the 668 that we're going to add on, where will those funds come from? What's the pot of money they come out of?
Well, I have a giant spreadsheet, whiteboard of it right now, but right now we're looking at the design funds coming from Port Bond and Port Grants, but you know, the projected expenses are significant and eventually it's going to have to be the revenue bond for the construction of these things. So some of this design I would think would go to the revenue, but we're projecting at least the 668 to come from the port bond and the grant. But as we move into 22 and we can issue that revenue bond, then we'll start putting funds towards the revenue bond.
Thank you.
Roll call.
Hanson.
Yes.
Bass.
Yes.
Stone.
Yes.
Hilton.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
Item C, approval of KPFF proposal regarding phase three of ore dock redevelopment project.
I move to approve the KPFF proposal for phase three of the ore dock redevelopment project in the amount not to exceed $69,100.
Second.
Motion by Hilton, second by Hanson to approve the KPFF proposal for phase three or DOC redevelopment project. Discussion. Orion?
This is, I guess, the second time we've had to vote on this. And this is really about the Uplands development and how that relates to the tourism experience once people walk off the ship through the ore area of the Uplands. It's probably going to evolve more. I think we expect that these costs will continue to come in, but it's synthesizing the RESPEC, which was PND at the time, their master water, I'm sorry, wrong engineering, PDC, I'm sorry, PDC engineers, the master waterfront plan that we adopted a couple of years ago to the ORDOC plan. So it's taking those two things into consideration, and RESPEC is now that engineering firm. Mark Pusic is their principal, who was also head of the waterfront master plan. So this is a continued pursuit of making a better experience in the upland walkways as people enter into Skagway.
Sam?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I look forward just to seeing what design concepts they come out with, you know, for the AML footprint, for the railroad, the railroad run there, for the waiting areas, public bathrooms, et cetera. It'll be exciting to see what they can conceive. So look forward to that. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Roll call.
Potter.
Yes.
Hilton.
Yes.
Stone.
Yes.
Bass.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Hansen.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
Item D, approval of KPFF proposal regarding Marine Service Platform 60% design scope and fee.
I move to approve the KPFF proposal for the Marine Services Platform 60% design in an amount not to exceed $140,000.
Second.
Motion by Potter, second by Hansen to approve the KPFF proposal for the Marine Service Platform 60% design scope and fee. Discussion. Orion.
And Jerrine, could you address this and also talk about the anticipated participation from the Yukon government?
Certainly. So this continues to be the Yukon government who's paying for this design. Ascenco is their contractor that has recommended this Marine Services platform, which is essentially an elevated concrete dock, T-dock, that can accommodate containerized ore and or, you know, some sort of mobile ore loader if that's the direction that's decided to go. They continue to want to try to fund to build this and move this project forward. So we've been talking with them a lot about how that might work and if they can release the funds to build it and how they would guarantee access for the mining industry. Additionally, we're talking to Minto on the 13th. Their primary is coming down to meet with us with the Yukon government representatives to talk about continued use of Skagway. In fact, I got another call from them today. They're very interested in maintaining their business efforts in Skagway right now. So this is just a step. The funds are already allocated from the Yukon government to pay for the 60% design, but we control the engineers. They made it very clear from the start in this design process, it has to go through us and it has to go through our design process and get approved at the assembly level.
Orion.
So you anticipate we'll be reimbursed for this cost?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Roll call.
Hilton.
Yes.
Hansen.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Bass.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Stone.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
Item E, approval of pre-procurement proposal regarding 2023 ORDOC alternative mooring plan. Or did we just do that? Sorry. Item F. Yeah, no, oh, okay. I'm right. Okay.
Move for approval of pre-procurement proposal for the 2023 ORDOC alternative mooring plan.
Second.
Motion by Hansen, second by Bass, to approve the pre-procurement proposal, ORDOC alternative mooring plan. A tongue twister. Discussion. Brad?
So I made reference to this my manager's update last night at the finance committee meeting. We considered, or they considered, $2.8 million. Things continue to move as we go through the simulation, and they look at the tonnage and the strength that they want in the bollards and the dolphins. So there's additional materials in here to pre-procure to meet what is being requested to get these ships in place. So now it's $4.7 million. I talked to KPFF today, and they assured me that all of this is part of the bigger project if we move forward with our original design, and or even if we slide it a little bit south, because there's some talk of maybe sliding it slightly south. But it has changed since last night. So now it's $4.7 million. And Assemblymember Hansen made reference to what wouldn't be part of the bigger project, which is that $316,000 for a spud barge, which is a floating barge, concrete top, to slide in to meet the ship's doors, two doors, so that we don't have to go up and down with the tide with gangways and those types of things.
Deb?
Question for Manager Ryan. Do you know, are there simulations happening currently with the dock being moved further south?
We're doing simulations with the spud barge configuration, not way further south, just currently where it's at and looking at it just a little bit south. It's not so much what I'm understanding, and I hate to put words out there that I, because I'm not at the simulation, but my understanding is there's some talk of wanting to be a little bit further south because of the ship at Broadway. It sounds like they can do it, and there'll just be more limitations on wind if we keep it up a little bit north. So, but I don't have all the feedback yet, and I know they're still running simulations tomorrow.
So from finance last night, this spud barge would accommodate two gangways from a Bliss size ship.
Yeah, the intent is to meet two doors, gangways provided by the ship, and that's why we have the smaller fenders, the 8.5s, so the gangways can reach without having to have forklifts down on the spud barge, and you know, just more room down there. And also then we don't have to pull some piles and dolphins that are in the way if we go with the smaller 110-foot spud barge. And I know that they're pretty anxious, Ed DeBrock from KPF, to go look at this, or have one of his people look at the spud barge in Ketchikan. And I'm supposed to text him tonight what happens.
And also the reason that we're buying this as a municipality is for expedience. Because if we put this as part of a bid, you know, process with a contractor, we don't have a chance of being ready for the 23 season. Is that accurate?
Yeah, correct. It's lead time on materials. So if we you know, we'll put out the pre-bid tomorrow. It's not the bid, but even at that pace, we'll still, you know, I think it's November 17th is the schedule to close and get it to the assembly. Well, close the 10th, get it to the assembly on the 17th. The problem is if we wait till then, the lead time on these materials is too long to reliably think we're going to get it and get it in place before the April cruise ship season.
What's the timing of a bond?
Man, you're good questions today. We talked to the bond bank today. It sounded like early 23. So there's another municipality who's put in. We're putting our application in, and it sounds like early 23.
Thank you.
Sam? Deb?
Thank you, Your Honor. One last thing, Manager Ryan. Can you touch briefly on the possible use and availability of emergency funds from the state disaster declaration?
So the state has, we've met with them. We've gone through the forms, how to fill them out. We've done this before, actually, from November. They're right now authorized at $1 million for emergency funds. They said if we go over that, they believe they can get more, but all of this is not a guarantee, you know, so that is what we're being told, but we have to get the forms filled out right, and we have to make sure that all the procurement is eligible, and then all the expenses have to be eligible. They have to be on our property. They have to be for, you know, damage from this. They have to agree they're either, you know, from damage or to mitigate life, health, and safety, essentially. And the proposal you have from Shannon and Wilson to do this short-term mitigation is $3.18 million. So there's some nervousness in there, of course, because they have $1 million authorized. We need to make sure they can get more than that.
Any further discussion? Roll call.
Stone. Stone. Sorry. Yes. Hansen.
Yes.
Hilton.
Yes.
Bass.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
Item F, approval of Shannon and Wilson proposal for short-term life, health, and safety rockfall mitigation.
I move for the approval of the Shannon and Wilson proposal for short-term life, health, and safety rockfall mitigation in an amount not to exceed $3,171,118. Did I say that right? $3,171,018.
Second.
Motion by Potter, second by Hilton to approve the Shannon and Wilson proposal to the tune of $3.1 million or so. Discussion. Sam?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Manager Ryan, it says that we intend to request reimbursement of this expense from the governors in the disaster declaration. Is that pretty well a guarantee, or is there a possibility that we're going to have to pay out of pocket for this?
It's not a guarantee. That goes to Deb's question. You know, what is there? They're telling us they have $1 million authorized right now. We have to make sure what we do is eligible, and we have to make sure everything gets filled out right and we don't break any procedure issues. They're saying that they can get us more money after the million, but there's no guarantee on that. No, absolutely not. So there is a possibility that we might have to cover this. It's definitely not a guarantee.
And can we cover it? I mean, how painful would it be if we have to cover this expense? I know it's a general question, but I'm looking for a little something.
Can we cover it? I believe we can. The revenue bond has to go through, and the expenses that would go to, the development of the ore dock would have to all go through that revenue bond, which, you know, we intend to do anyway. And then we'd have to cover it with our other municipal funds. But it's going to look really tight getting into 23 until that revenue bond goes through.
Can CPV funds be used to cover some of that cost in a situation where we can't get refunded by state or the feds?
I'm counting on CPV funds.
Any further discussion? Deb?
It's a lot of money. We've been spending a lot of money up here. It's one could say overwhelming at times. I think there are just things that we can't say no to. I just don't see an option. We have to do everything we can to get, you know, at least fencing up there, and I just don't see no as an option.
Sam?
Brad, do we believe that, you know, the scope of the project is supposed to include heavy scaling and installation of attenuation measures and testing of those measures? Do we think that this investment may get us where we can operate in 2023?
That's the intent. The intent is to do this heavy scaling, get the attenuation measures out there, test them, and open up for operation 2023. It is I think everybody needs to be prepared that I highly doubt that our geotechnical engineers are going to say anything except operate with lightering through the small boat harbor or the ferry peninsula for that matter. But, you know, I think the comfort level is going to be to lighter, not to walk people down the docks, at least in mass numbers. So I don't know. We are working towards maybe an ADA option to get some vans down there with some sort of protections, but we're trying to limit. I think we have to be prepared that we're going to try to limit as many people on that dock as possible.
Thank you.
Orion?
Manager Ryan, can you walk us through maybe in a fourth and fifth grade level of what this proposal is so that everybody understands it?
Yeah. It's a scaling effort, meaning you're going to go up, not us, a company's going to come to town called Rock Supremacy. They're going to go up and they're going to roll the rocks down with pry bars. They're going to use airbags. And if you were standing at the dock looking up the slide, and I'm assuming most people are familiar with it, they're going to work on that south chute of that major slide. And that is because they're trying to get everything to fail through that chute. When they do that, they're also going to lay attenuators up on top. I believe they're going to lay them up on top to get the work done. And whether they survive and stay in place or not, the top ones, I think will depend on how the scaling goes. At about, I'd say, a third of the way down, or maybe just over a third of the way down, there's a bump on the hillside, and that kicks rocks off and launches them outward. So there's we call it a mid-slope attenuator, and that is going to have a mid-slope attenuator and then potentially a bottom attenuator, which is now taken out but rebuilt. And then the idea being they do this heavy scaling, they get these attenuators in place, and then they would go up and attempt to roll some rocks down that they would suspect would come down the size of rocks. Not the big ones, hopefully, at that point. Hopefully, they're smaller rocks. Make sure these attenuators are working. So there's also talk of increased monitoring, but I think I'm going to ask you to pull that off for now. But hopefully we'll get that there as well, which is a laser total station with some prisms up on the rocks. And if we get that in place, that should be hopefully a second way to monitor the movement up there in case something appears to be moving a little faster than we're comfortable with.
So for the folks who don't know what an attenuator is, it's effectively the large metal net that came down in the last rock slide, and then also adding another one mid-slope, and then also a mesh drape along the top, which is like what you see along highways where you have debris falling down frequently. There's it's like that going up towards Carcross. This is, we had a proposal also from Shannon Wilson that was 40 million and 106,000 yards of basically, peeling off the whole top of the mountain. This is uncertain. Everything else we've been voting on here has a very clear revenue stream. Is this going to work? I don't know if anyone can answer that. The thing I think I feel is that every time one of those rock slides come down, it undermines everyone's confidence, every business. It's a terrible experience for the customers, for the business owners, the residents. The cruise ships don't want to be anywhere near it. And I agree with Assembly Member Potter that we need to do something, because standing by while we have rock slides every week, every several weeks, twice in a week, is not making us a world-class destination. I don't know how exactly we pay for this. I know the mayor is going to DC in a few weeks to lobby our delegation there for help. And all the measures we've taken of declarations, and the governor recently coming out with an emergency declaration. It's all an attempt to access federal help or state help. And while I don't like voting for things that have an uncertain way to pay for it or an uncertain result, I think we have to do something, and I don't think we have a lot of time to debate it.
Manager Ryan.
I would offer that Orion brought up maybe an update on the port, and I think it's a good idea, and we would run through the finances there. We have a I'd like everybody to be aware of what we're thinking and how we think we're going to pay for things. So we worked through it today, and I think we could do that at a Port and Harbor meeting and just run through so it's clear, it's no secret what we're planning. And it's not on the agenda, and I couldn't give you a great representation of it today, but I would like to, you know, offer that up for a Port and Harbor meeting.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, items 9B, C, D, and E are really pretty directly related to the port bond that just passed. You know, that plan is fairly linear. It's not hard to, it's quick, it's moving fast, but that just reflects the hard work that staff has done so that they're ready to pull the trigger. A crumbling mountain is a lot harder to deal with.
Manager Ryan, did they give you an idea, like what we're looking at? I mean, obviously we're pivoting toward the smaller project as opposed to the $40 million project. They give you an idea of, is you know, going back up there and doing scaling, is that going to be an annual endeavor? Is that going to be every couple of years, or is it just a mystery at this point?
I think if we don't do the bigger project, it's an annual endeavor. We're going to apply for a brick grant for the larger project. We're trying to figure out if we can qualify for, it's called a Protect grant as well. So we're looking at, you know, avenues to fund it. But yeah, I think 23, we're hoping to scale for and do this. 24, if we can't get a grant or a funding source for the larger project, and I do believe the price is coming down on that larger project, but it's not coming down to $10 million. Then I think we're in the same game for 24. Hopefully not the same amount of money. There's some cost savings when you get these, you know, concrete abutments up there and stuff to hold things in place, assuming they stay up there.
Just to, for the sake of anybody listening, a BRIC grant, that's an acronym that stands for Building Resiliency in Communities, something we've been in communication with our federal representatives for months now. But we do need the governor to take the declaration of an emergency up to the federal level. So we had a very productive meeting with Murkowski's team in preparation for my heading to DC here in a couple weeks, where I'm going to be meeting with them in person. But we are going to be hopefully meeting with governor's team on early next week, hopefully, so that we can advocate for getting that sent up the pipe. Because the larger project, the brick goes through FEMA, and there's quite a bit of money that can be used. It's like a preventative type of grant. So it's related to climate change, which hear the comments from Courtney tonight, Ms. Fun. Obviously, we're dealing with a lot more rainfall than we did even 10 years ago. And this is probably not going to be something that's going away. So just to clarify what a brick is. Orion?
Manager Ryan, can you discuss a little bit about the coordination you've had with White Pass related to this proposal?
Yeah, White Pass really came up with the original idea of this scaling and attenuation measures. They've been very generous. Their geotechnical engineers have been working with ours. We have taken it over. We've met about it at least twice here, maybe three times. And so I think we're working good together on this. They've made their engineers available. They're hauling off the current slide debris as a contribution to the project, you know, and that's 6,000 yards of material or so. And yeah, I think we're working in a positive direction, and we're working together on it.
Any further discussion? Roll call.
Burnham.
Yes.
Bass.
Yes.
Hilton.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Stone.
Yes.
Hansen.
Yes.
Six yeses. Motion passes.
G, approval of rock slide monitoring equipment and software purchase quote. Manager Ryan?
If we could postpone this one until later, I would appreciate it. This is one of those items that I'm concerned about the procurement method. I think it needs to be done, but I don't want you to move it forward until I have everything in place. And the quotes we got make me nervous that we're not following the right procurement procedure. So I'd like to take it off, make sure that we have everything lined up. And it is not something that there's a $4,000 purchase in there that we can make happen to expedite this process. and then we can still come back and get this monitoring equipment in place without having to remobilize people to go up on the rock and put the prisms in place. So just if you could just not take action on this one, I'd appreciate it.
By not taking action, we can just keep going just to get a parliamentary.
I believe you can simply move to the next item. When this comes back up, it would be under unfinished business. If you actually made a motion to postpone, it would be on the next meeting. But I believe that if you don't make a motion at all, then the manager can put it back on the agenda when he's ready under unfinished business.
Item H, approval of proposal for wastewater treatment facility improvements, engineering and funding assistance.
I move for the approval of the CRW proposal for wastewater treatment facility improvements, engineering and funding assistance in an amount not to exceed $125,484.
Second.
Motion by Potter, second by Hansom to approve the proposal for wastewater treatment facility improvements, engineering and funding assistance. Orion?
So I called Public Works Director Tyson Ames to get some clarity on this. For starters, this is related to the $10.2 million grant we're getting sponsored through Murtowski's office to improve the wastewater treatment plant. But I wanted some clarity as to exactly what it is and why. And effectively, we have to do our homework before we can qualify for the grant. And this will get us up to around 35% design. And it's believed that that this will be probably viewed as a community contribution that will be part of the requirement of the grant. There are some unknowns as to what the actual outfall of the wastewater treatment plant will be in terms of what level of chloroform is acceptable. That may change, but that's kind of discussed here in the bulk of this report. But if you go to page 3 of 5, task 0040, preliminary engineering report, there are 4 bullet points there. And I, without being too deliberate, I'll try to clarify what each one of those are. The first one, installation of moving bed biofilm reactor as a primary polishing reactor to provide additional soluble BOD removal following the existing primary clarifiers. That effectively says it's taking out more of the solids. We get what a wastewater treatment plant is, so I don't have to tell you what that is, but it's taking out more solids. The second bullet point, improvement to the existing influent pump station to allow for redundancy. This will allow for higher capacity. It also allows it to be worked on independently because you'll have 2 different pumps. So something that works 24 hours a day, you need to be able to maintain one or the other. So you take, you know, take one down, still the wastewater plant is still working. So you can go, you know, it's better for maintenance. It's also in case one of them fails, you're not, you know, just not processing sewage. Similar to how the incinerator works. We have actually 2 different burn boxes. The third bullet point, a new UV odor control system based on the design completed of the wastewater treatment facility in 2019. The entire building does not have the odor control that we installed because of cost. So this would upgrade the whole plant to have that odor control. I believe this was paid for by CPV when we did it, because a stinky sewer plant right on our waterfront is not a good tourist experience. And also the neighbors greatly appreciate that improvement. And the last one is fairly self-explanatory. It's in expanding the actual facility. So thanks to Tyson for walking me through that. And
he reiterated that there that the criteria for a permit may change in terms of what's allowed in outflow. And there's a lot of very technical numbers in here, but this effectively is what we have to do to qualify for the grant money. So he said, he phrased it as basically like you have to do your homework before you get paid.
Any further discussion? Sam?
Manager Ryan, just so the 20% match to the 10.2 million, assumedly that can come out of CPV, at least that would be the plan, would be to get those funds from CPV?
At least 68% of it.
All right. Do you foresee any major issues with the NEPA requirements or the other requirements?
No, I mean, they always add costs to the project, but that's why we brought CRW on. They actually, their primary came from HDR, and they deal with this all the time, and that's why we're carrying through with CRW, because he's got a good understanding of those. So there'll be some increased paperwork and, you know, potentially even, you know, imagine American-made iron and steel requirements, and that might be a big issue for the odor control. That's the one thing that we've been questioning. My understanding of the odor control is the unit we put in can only come out of, I think it comes out of Canada, and so it might be hard to get that and actually have that meet the American iron and steel requirements. So that might be an issue that I can think of right now, but there's always a little bit of increased cost with when you end up there, but it's worth the $10 million to not have to pay for the rest of the project. And we may have to drop the additional odor control out. And if we do, then we will and do something else.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Roll call.
Hansen.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Hilton?
Yes.
Stone?
Yes.
Bass?
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
Item I, approval of preliminary engineering agreement with DOT and PF regarding ferry terminal.
Move we approve the preliminary engineering agreement with DOT and PF regarding the ferry terminal.
Second.
Motion by Bass, second by Hilton to approve the preliminary engineering agreement with DOT. Finally, some good news. This is the culmination of a lot of work, especially by staff, who we've made repeated trips to Juneau over the last 3.5 years. We had an MOU with Department of Transportation. What this essentially does is starts the process of building a new ferry terminal dock on the Ore Peninsula. And the reason that's important and a big deal is because that would free up the entire Broadway Peninsula for future development. Considering what's happening on the railroad dock and what we all know about it, increasing on our waterfront by 40%, it's probably a pretty big deal. You know, years ago, there was a Moffitt Nichols study that was done, and the community overwhelmingly identified, I think it was option B, which was developing the Broadway Peninsula, moving all of our industry to the north. And this will give us the ability to do that on hopefully a much quicker time scale than we've been able to get to this point of the agreement. Discussion. Sam?
Manager Ryan, do you anticipate what 20% of the design or 50% of the 20% design cost may be? Have they given us any close numbers?
Well, there's a cap of $1 million here, so I mean, half of that would be the cap if we shared it, and I think that's pretty close. You know, 20% get to probably $4 million design, so 20% of that maybe $5 million design. So I think there that half of $1 million, about $500,000, would be our contribution.
Do you anticipate any timeline with this project? Do you see any like immediate timeline, long-term timeline?
So we talked about this. We've talked about it multiple times, and on a rare moment of agreement between myself and the DOT engineer, we both There was a lot of excitement about being able to come to this, and we were both in the 5-year time frame, you know, at best, to actually make the project happen. I think that's really what we're looking at, about 5 years out, if we're going to make the project happen. And I think that's probably optimistic. I mean, it's a big project. It's a lot of work. And there's a lot of conversation to be had with AMHS and understand their requirements, as well as what the municipality wants.
When do you think we could see this 20% design?
I think I would think later in 23. I don't, you know, the way I understand that they want this to happen is they want us to hold the contract with the design engineers. And I think it makes sense that we would continue that with KPFF. You know, they're very invested in the waterfront right now. And so I'm assuming we'd continue down that road to KPFF. And the last thing I'd want to do is pull them off of what they're doing to prioritize this over what they're trying to do with the Ore Peninsula and the alternative mooring plan stuff. So I'm thinking late 23.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. I have a couple questions. The way I'm reading this, this draft agreement is we basically have until June 30th to agree to this. Am I reading that correct?
What number are you reading it under?
Number three, term three.
That is page three.
Page three, term three.
Item number three on page three. This agreement shall terminate on June 30th, 2023, unless the parties mutually agree to extend the term of this agreement in writing.
I think it'll get extended. I think it'll have to get extended.
I think I would like to see this go to either Ports and Harbor or the Marine Ad Hoc Committee, or ideally both, to take a quick look at it. I got some late information today that I wasn't able to check in. I don't know if you can speak to this. The word on the street is that there was a grant that was submitted for design and possible construction of an electric ferry. I think that word came from Emily.
Not by us, by DOT.
Correct.
Right. Yeah, they've submitted, they have multiple grants that they've submitted. One of them is to build an electric ferry.
They've also some grants, if I remember correctly from the meeting, there were grants submitted for infrastructure development via that same pool of funds.
Not for Skagway, though.
But not for Skagway, which was a bit disappointing. But they did outline in the conversation we had with Murkowski's office some other potential grant funding options.
I think I just want to make sure we don't get ourselves into a situation again where you design a dock or a ferry without at the same time considering, I feel like a dock design and a ferry design kind of need to go hand in hand. You obviously don't want to build a dock that for a ferry design that we might not be totally confident about. So I would want to make sure, obviously, hopefully that would be part of the feasibility studies that take place along with simulations of different sized ferries, being able to handle the wind conditions on the Ore Peninsula. I would assume that's all part of the feasibility studies.
I don't have any issue with it going to committees. And I think you're right. It has to be designed right for the ferries that need to utilize it. And obviously, if it's going to be electric ferries, there has to be, I mean, we talked with the Murkowski staff, was that Monday, Tuesday?
Tuesday.
You know, specifically about the fact that anything that's being built should accommodate electric ferries. So, I don't have any issue with that at all.
Reba?
I think that we should approve this. Speed of government is very slow. And you throw in working with the state, it's even slower. So this is just one of the other tiny steps to get there. In the meanwhile, there's lots of public process. It doesn't commit us to building a ferry dock on the Oar Peninsula, but it definitely keeps things rolling and moving. And I believe, especially after this rock slide, we need all of our options in case. What if the railroad does get shut down? We don't know, even know what's going to happen there. We're trying, but we need to get everything in order as much as we can to get ahead of anything. And so we have options. So I think we should move forward with this at this time and then just keep going to see what washes out. But there will be plenty of time for public input and comments and committee work to be done on this for sure.
I'd recommend the same course of action, but immediately getting it into the hands of those groups so that they could start talking about it. And then as the grant process moves forward with the electric ferry, we could potentially, you know, kind of link up with that, but we really don't even know if that electric ferry is going to be coming here at all. So, you know, in my opinion, at least at the current moment, it's more important that we make any kind of forward progress, you know, that we're using the existing ferries, because it sure doesn't seem like we've made a lot of headway in regards to the electric ferryway, despite all of our efforts. But yeah, there's a lot of process that's going to happen with this. Sam.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I think I'd like, if we did move and we saw the 20% design eventually sometime in 2023, at least then we can see what's possible. We can see what the plan is, what's engineeringly possible, what's even the currents and the winds, to really have those guys dig in to see what type of pier they'd have to develop out there. And I think they could get us pretty close to that with that 20% design, and give us some real figures and facts on what's possible. So I'll vote to move this forward today if we... Thank you.
Any further discussion? Roll call.
Burnham.
Yes.
Stone.
Yes.
Hansen.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Hilton.
Yes.
Bass.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
Who's making the motion? Orion?
I move we adjourn from regular session and reconvene in executive session due to matters that may have a significant adverse impact on the finances of the municipality, which are confidential by law, protected by attorney-client privileges, discussions with the borough attorney regarding port development strategy, tariff document, leasing, and berthing.
Second.
Motion by Hansen, second by Bass, to go to executive session. Discussion. Roll call. We will adjourn. Do we have to do roll call? Roll call. Sorry. I'm already tired. We still have executive
session. Stone.
Yes.
Hansen.
Yes.
Hilton.
Yes.
Bass.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
Your Honor. Yes.
You also indicate who you'd like to be joining you in executive session.
You obviously, you guys, Assembly, Manager Ryan, and the clerk and the deputy clerk.
And the attorney.
Yeah, and of course the attorney. So we will recess for 5 minutes and readjourn in executive session at 8:30. Meeting is reconvened. Mayor and Assembly discussion items. Orion, would you like to start?
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you to the voters for re-electing me and having faith in my position up here to represent you. I look forward to serving with Dan. I've served with you before, and I
We're a critical time, and I look forward to your vast knowledge and experience. And Dustin, we've had some very interesting times in the last 3 years through kind of unprecedented challenges. And your sincerity and your emotions has never been questioned at the table. It's a very unique quality where you come right to the edge of just exploding, but you keep it in line. And it's kept it interesting for sure, my friend. And I thank you for all the time you put into it. I know it emotionally took a lot out of you. And I know you put your heart into it. And I look forward to more years of serving Skagway. Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. Sam?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just quickly, we saw the STC letter regarding Garden City. The ground penetrating radar has been done with normal results, except for two anomalies that require some shovel testing. That work will begin next week. Hopefully thereafter, we'll have the final report back on the ground penetrating radar. And then we may have to start having discussions on what's the next step and what we want to do through STC and with that property. We also saw the HDC letter. I think we see some concerns there with they may not have the quorum this winter if we don't make some adjustments to our teleconferencing policy. That's something I think we should discuss either at our level or maybe kicking it down to a committee, but something to think about. I was excited to hear about how well the municipality and White Pass has been working together with the rock slide issue. I think it just shows how we can have two very strong port partners that can work very well together. And when they do work that well together, how fast things can happen. And that's great news. And so I hope that port partnership continues working forward. Congrats to Dan and Orion. Congratulations, guys. Great to have you up here. And also I want to say thanks to Dustin. It's been a tough 3 years. You definitely served in the trenches, and that's much appreciated. Thanks for all your hard work, Dustin. Enjoy your, enjoy your Thursdays from now on. That's all I have. Thank you.
Jay? Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Your Honor. Dustin, pleasure serving with you up here. You always said where you stood. I appreciate that. The DAE board had talked about mitigation and taking a look at that. That was something that I wanted to reiterate, that maybe we should look into some of the concerns that they have. And they have been working quite well with Chief Rauscher and the Park Service too. And I believe that some people from the park are going to come in and take a look at some of the ways that a fire could spread through the valley. So, and I would like to thank Babel for coming up and speaking tonight. I will count her in my corner as an advocate for a pool, and I will begin planning to get her dream of having a pool here, just like it's been my dream of having a pool here, coming to fruition. We just got those couple of little problems with rock slides and docks and remediation and
oh my
and stuff, but kind of a list. And other than that, congratulations, Orion, Dan. And that's it for me. Thanks.
Thank you, Jay. Deb?
Thank you, Your Honor. I too have been encouraged by the cooperation between White Pass and the municipality in recent days. I look forward to that continuing. We all love Skagway. We all care about Skagway. We all need Skagway to thrive. I will also extend my congratulations to Assemblymember Hansen and Dan Henry. Look forward to working with him. I have a great deal of respect for him. on the topic of bear cans, something that maybe we can think about, if I don't know, for budget season or next year, is to do kind of a similar, along with like our sales tax holiday, maybe for October. Give some kind of a break on bear cans, or maybe you can take your garbage, waive the fees for the month of October. You could take it up to the incinerator. We're already having a lot of issues again. I think just something to put on people's radar. I want to acknowledge Tom Cochran's letter and his request for the municipal fund balances, as well as our current debts, to be published publicly. And I'm in agreement on that. I don't know if it can get added to the finance report or it can get added to the check run somehow.
I did actually just speak with the treasurer today about that, and we're working on that.
Awesome. I will check that off. And then I'm going to conclude with bragging about how great our kids are in this town. And I will absolutely be bringing up the topic of rain gardens at the next Parks and Rec meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Deb. Reba?
Thank you, Your Honor. Yeah, the kids did awesome. Rain gardens and the Green Initiative, that is pretty awesome. I fully support both of those things. It's going to be nice to revisit some things that we've been doing before the pandemic in docs, that we've been addressing those a lot recently, but revisiting the SDC and Garden City area and what's going to happen there. I fully do support giving back that property, or at least a huge portion of it. And I do want to reiterate, I still think it's important that we don't put conditions on that, and we don't have to be involved in what they do with that property. If we're returning land to the Native Americans, why would government tell them what to do with their lands? I mean, have we learned nothing throughout our history? They will do the right thing with it. I am sure of that. I'm hoping to move over to civic affairs. I've talked a little bit with Andrew about that. I feel like I've done a lot with the health, education, and welfare, especially going through a pandemic. It was a rough start to my assembly seat here, but I would like to start addressing some housing issues and some other things that would be more appropriate for civic affairs than health, education, and welfare. So hopefully that will happen, and my fellow assembly members will support that change. And Dustin Stone, thank you so much. It has been crisis after crisis after crisis, and you did a great job, and I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Reba. Dustin?
I like this dynamic of where you guys just all have to say nice things about me. It's great. I should have last meetings more often. First off, just congratulations to Orion and Dan. A big thank you to everybody who ran and who put themselves out there. I think there's nothing more important than a robust exchange of ideas when it comes election time. So I thought that candidate forum was great, and I thank you again to everybody who ran. Thank you to everybody who's still sitting up there. The work that you do is hard and often thankless, but thank you for doing it. And I guess finally, to the community, just thank you for the trust that you put in me for the last 3 years, and it's been an honor to serve. So thank you again.
Thank you, Dustin. A few things, I'll try and go quick. As far as HDC goes, Sam, just so you know, I did have some correspondence with Steve via that email thread, and you know, the HDC is not very active during a lot of the months, so those folks are going to be gone. So rather than start tampering with the policies about meeting attendance, which I think are very important, and making an exception for one committee, I expressed that I don't really see there being a problem with during the winter months, when, you know, the heart of winter, when people aren't applying for those types of permits that require
the HDC to be involved. If it does become a problem, then I certainly think it's worth addressing. But just so you know that we talked to him about it. I mean, if the assembly decides they wanted to, you know, look at those policies, make them more restrictive, I'd be for that. But I don't know how much of a fan I'd be of making them less restrictive. I think it's important for the people who serve the community to be here and be present. And I realize that's not always possible. I realize there were a lot of extenuating circumstances during the pandemic. I don't want to be in a situation in this community where public servants are living in other states and not able to participate in person at the vast majority of the meetings. So like I say, if it was more restrictive, I'd probably be a fan of that, but less restrictive. I think it's pretty lenient as it is. And the assembly's granted the authority to make excuses or grant an excuse for somebody that has extenuating circumstances when they're in violation of the policy. So that wasn't a short way of talking about it. Boy, but I'm just getting rolling. Also wanted to thank the voters and especially thank them for the vote of confidence for our future. You had a 58% yes vote on the revenue bond. That's significant. When you live in a small town and you see the $65 million revenue bond, that's a hard thing to get through the table. And I want to congratulate every member of the assembly and staff who worked diligently to make sure that this yes vote happened, because it's challenging. And having town halls and putting together all the information into PowerPoints, making it transparent, accessible, and then the hard push from everybody at the table. If we didn't have it, we'd be doomed. So I really do appreciate all of that hard work as somebody who wants to live in this community and, like so many others, would have to move if we had no economy next year. So thank you for that yes vote. Thank you to everyone who ran. Dustin hit the nail on the head. And congratulations to Orion and Dan. Looking forward to continuing to work with both of you. You want to put your ring in the hat right now. You're very brave. I don't know if I want to talk about that. I'm looking at my notes here. Oh, this is important. We're all employees here. We, you know, have to fill out our W-9s. And now that board members are going to be getting checks, potentially, they are also employees. And I want, and it is required as employees that you go through the harassment training. It's a 25 minutes. It takes approximately to do it. And I want everybody to sign their harassment training to show that they've done it. I want everybody to do it without exception. And I want it done by the first November meeting. I will reiterate this next week. I think it's vitally important that we maintain a healthy and professional work environment in this building and in every single municipal department. And so if we're going to have employees, if we're all employees, we have to follow the same rules that the employees do who go to work at this building. So I don't think that's necessarily new, but this training is a little bit new, and I want to make sure everybody does it and fully understands, you know, what being a responsible person in an office environment means, so that nobody makes a mistake and upsets somebody that results in a lawsuit or something worse. So just throwing that out there. I'll remind everybody next week and kind of be a pain in the butt about it. I appreciate all the kids coming in tonight, Fable, Pool, but also the fourth and fifth graders, the middle school robotics. Deb, you're going to be working on the Rain Garden Initiative. I think a feasibility study for electrifying buses is a great idea. Perhaps that is Civic Affairs. Sounds good. And your new role with Civic Affairs, that should be fun. As far as the plan for Garden City goes, not going to talk too much about it until we get all of our data back in, but it's here on the horizon. And I still stand in the same place I stood on this when I first talked about it. I think an even split of that property is still very appropriate and something that we should be considering seriously. And the four criteria that were outlined tonight and in the letter that we received seem like very easy criteria to put together. I heard somebody say this the other day. They said, oh, the past is the past. Yeah, the past is the past. That's why we apologize and why we have to buy flowers for our spouses sometimes, because the past is the past, but we make mistakes and we have to make up for them. So, you know, sometimes it's good to buy those flowers. Does Dai have a small community emergency response plan? I thought that'd be a great way to start, because what Courtney said got me thinking. And, you know, we have our small community emergency response plan. They should have one. And I know ours needs to be updated. So maybe we could work on that concurrently, or maybe they are a part of our SCRP. I don't even know. So like we talked about earlier, issues with global warming aren't going to get any better here in the near future. And so that flooding, and I think that's going to be something that they're going to have to learn to live with. So, you know, I started thinking while she was talking, like, what if we had that flash flood and, you know, are we scrambling to get people out? What if there's a major landslide and it blocks the road? I know we had to deal with that when we had the rock slide, but what happens if it's a larger event? I'd like to know that we have at least an escape plan for people who live in Dai if there's some kind of major natural disaster. So just throwing that out there, as it really got me thinking, and Miss Courtney, Miss Fun Courtney is right. Thank you to the election board and all of your hard work. And Steve, I thought you did a stellar job. It's your first time doing an election. Thank you. It was great. Dustin, I'm going to point out that everything was great until you became an assembly person. And then all of a sudden we had a pandemic and everything went straight to hell. So thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that. And I'll tell you my heartfelt sentiments when you get back into town. With that, this meeting. Oh, yeah. Do we have to schedule our first budget meeting?
I'll confirm it with Heather and Brad and send an email to see your availability. So we'll send it out hopefully tomorrow. Okay.
Sounds good. I know one thing I look forward to every year are our budget meetings. So maybe we can schedule an executive session in the same night we have a budget meeting. Is that possible? Every night? So we can just make every night the best night. And Kathy, thank you for being here tonight. It was great having you here as our new deputy clerk. I know Steve's probably greatly appreciates it. Well, it's the first time I've seen him smile in 3 months. So that's great. With that, the meeting's adjourned.
Thanks, everybody.